You're listening to the Health and Wellness Hour on IndieTalent.ca. This program is brought to you by Ken Clone Services. On today's show, we are looking into one of the many vibrational medicines. This one is Reiki, and we are talking to Reiki Master Michael Ratt. On today's program, we are featuring some taiko drum music from Japanese taiko drum master Kayoshi Nagata. We will play a cut off his CD, Koku. We selected the particular music because of its tie-ins with vibrational medicine. As many of you may know, drumming is very therapeutic, and the sound of the taiko drums is amazing. This is why we decided to pick a cut from Kayoshi Nagata's CD, Koku. If any of you are interested in finding out more about various types of vibrational medicine, there is an excellent book. It's called Vibrational Medicine, the Number One Handbook of Subtle Energy Therapies. It's by Richard Gerber, G-E-R-B-E-R, M-D. Now, this is not light reading, people. You're going to find yourself basically reading a textbook. But it's very interesting. It covers a great number of different areas of vibrational medicine. If you'd like to read something a little bit more simple, a little easier to grasp, there is an excellent article. It's called The Science Behind Reiki. And you can find that on www.reikiteaching.co.uk. And it's called The Science Behind Reiki. And it describes... This is some research by a Dr. Robert Becker and a Dr. John Zimmerman. And it's just a very nice way of describing what Reiki is. And there is also an article by James L. Oshman, PhD, being interviewed by William Lee Rand. And in that article, which is a reprint from the Reiki News magazine, he discusses science and the human energy field. Very interesting reading, and for anybody who has an interest in energy medicine, I would say this is an excellent place for you to start. As you know, on the Health and Wellness Hour, we like to talk to various practitioners in various areas. We recently spoke with Dr. Heinisch, who is in fact a veterinary surgeon who practices acupuncture on animals. And acupuncture is also an energy medicine. All of these things tie in together. And so today, as we said, we're talking about Reiki with a Reiki master. And you're listening to the Health and Wellness Hour on IndieTalent.ca. And today, I'm talking to Reiki Master Michael Ratt. And we are going to talk about Michael's involvement with vibrational health. And so, Michael, tell us how you initially became involved with Reiki.
Initially, going back to probably 2003 or 2004, I had a chance meeting with a young person who looked across a table at a pub that I was sitting in, and she looked at me, she says, "What do you know about vampires?" Yeah, see, you just rolled your eyes, which is exactly the response that everybody is going to be giving right now, and it's completely understandable. But when I get to the context and how this works out, you'll understand. She looks at me, she goes, "What do you know about vampires?" And I said to her, "Do you mean Hollywood vampires or real vampires?" At which point she just went, "Okay, I get it." And she handed me this rather spooky kind of really cool looking business card that just had a V on it. And it was a business card representative of a website that existed back a bunch of years ago, which was vampire-centric, if I may use that word. A lot of people on the website were caught up in the mythology of vampirism, but as many or more of the people on the website were caught up in the realities of vampirism. Again, you're raising your eyebrows, and that's completely understandable. Vampirism, in as much as the concept of drawing or exchanging energy with another human being or another living creature. So some of these people took it to the extent of getting caught up in the Hollywood mythology and just the mythology in general, and taking it to the extent of exchanging blood, believing that there's some power exchange in that. That's fine. But there were the other ones who were more caught up in the concept of passing energy or vibration through one form or another, but not the passing of blood. So this led me to kind of pay attention and hang around for a little while, because it's another level of psychic or energetic awareness. So I hung out for a while and I learned a few things, and more than anything, things were brought back to the light for me, things that I was already aware of but had kind of put on the back burners for a while. So I watched and I paid attention, and I got involved in a few energy exchanges with people up close and long distance. And I learned relatively quickly by the responses I was getting that I had some sort of, for lack of a better word, gift or talent for doing this. So life went on at the website for about a year and a half or so, and all kinds of crazy political stuff happens, because that's just the way it is when you get a group of people paying attention to one thing at all at the same time. And the website imploded. The group of people all went different directions, and some people kind of gravitated to other people, as happens with the law of attraction, which is something which is very much part of what I do. And some of the people that gravitated towards me, I learned were very energetically aware as well. So I ended up having more exchanges on an energetic level with these people. All of these at this point being long distance. I'm talking Nashville, Tennessee. I'm talking Portland, Maine. I'm talking in Germany. I'm talking in England. Everybody getting back to me after one of these exchanges via email and going, wow, that was pretty intense. And I can only take their words for it, because I wasn't there, so I didn't experience what they were experiencing. But I knew what I was feeling, and there was definitely something going on. And while these things were going on, at the end of one of these sessions with these people, I would be, because of the work that I was doing, crumpled up in a little exhausted, sweaty heap, because I was putting all my energy, all my worth, everything I was doing to send this energy to these people to make them feel better or aid them in whatever the problem was. So at this point, a dear friend of mine who worked in the now defunct Omega Book Center on Yorkville, I told her about these exchanges and what I was doing, and she says, Michael, you know what you're doing, don't you? And I said, no, I don't. She goes, yeah, you're doing Reiki. Well, I didn't mean no, I don't, that I don't know what I'm doing, because I had a good handle on it. But at the same time, I didn't realize that there was some specialized word for it. So at this point, she goes, yeah, you're doing Reiki. And I said, Reiki, that's kind of like futon and sushi and all that stuff. Because it was just a word, at this point in my life, it was just a word in the back of Now magazine. So she says, yeah, it's Reiki, and she handed me this cool 8.5x11 glossy magazine sort of book on it that outlined some of the basics. And I flipped through it, and I went, this is pretty much what I'm doing. So an opportunity came up to take a $5 or $10 primer course, and I sat in on this class and thought, yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. And I spoke to the gentleman afterwards. I said, how do I get to do this without wearing myself out? And he explained to me, and it made complete sense. So after that, I went and I took my first level attunement quick as I possibly could. And then the next day, the people who I had been doing energy work with already got back to me, and they said, did you do something? And I said, in what way? It's like, there seems to be a cleaner, more direct channel or something I can really feel when you're doing your distance work. And I said, yeah, actually, I've gotten my first level Reiki attunement. And they went, wow, this is awesome. And that's basically how it started.
It seems to me that it was roughly 2 years ago, and you were just about to take off to England.
Yes.
Is that correct? About 2 years ago?
Yes.
And we were talking, and you were basically just beginning the first serious part of your journey to becoming a Reiki master. Is that, would that be fair?
That's the best way to put it, yeah. On my way to becoming a Reiki master at that point, yeah, that is true.
That fair?
Yeah, that is fair. A lot of people are saying at that point that I should have already had my Reiki master level because of the work that I was doing and the capabilities and the apparent cleanliness of the energy that they were receiving and the responses they were getting. But the fact of the matter is you have to take certain steps before you're accepted within a certain realm. So I took those certain steps, and I was graced with the opportunity to travel to Glastonbury in England. And while I was there, I had the actual attunement ceremony done within the rings of the center rings of Stonehenge, which was a pretty intense experience. Actually, the stay in Glastonbury itself was pretty intense.
Yes, you were telling me that you had some very interesting experiences.
Yeah. I went to Glastonbury simply for the idea of taking this class in Reiki and getting my master level. And I had heard the name before, but I never really did a lot of research or paid a lot of attention to it. Now, my wife, on the other hand, has a very historical bent to herself. She just loves old history, medieval especially. And one of the things that encompassed was the King Arthur myth cycle. And the King Arthur myth cycle also involved Avalon, which is perceived as the actual physical location being Glastonbury. Mm-hmm. I went in with my eyes completely open, and I didn't know about King Arthur except that the usual high school or school knowledge, the Disney stuff. I didn't pay a lot of attention. I really didn't. It's fine, whatever. Chivalry and the Knights of the Round Table and all that. Excuse me. So it wasn't something that I paid a lot of attention to. So we get to England, and we get to this charming little airport in Exeter, where we actually climbed off the plane and walked across the tarmac, and the actual air terminal was, I think, 5 rooms, and this wonderful, round, jolly gentleman standing behind the counter going, "Oi, thank you, hello, hello, hello," and just stamping stuff and letting us go through. It was really fascinating. It was wonderful. Climbed on a train for about an hour, got on a bus, and on the bus we were on the way into town, and within 5 miles you start to see or start to feel this, if you're aware, you start to feel this definite vibrational, energetic feel about it. It's a different place. It's a completely different place. And then you turn around while you're on the bus because you feel something strange about it, and you see this hill looming over everything, and at the top of the hill there's this old tower. And all of a sudden, your mind and your thoughts are transfixed on this thing, and you're not sure why. And that just continued for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days. Very, very strange place. So
very ancient place, right?
Very ancient. Goes back to pre-Christian times, actually. Stories have it that Joseph of Arimathea, Jesus Christ's uncle, actually took Jesus on his lost period between his 12th or 13th birthday and when he came back and when he was eventually crucified. There's a whole period there where nobody knows really what happened to him. And part of the story is that he went traveling with his uncle Joseph, and one of the first places they landed was in the bottom of England, went through Wales and into Glastonbury. And when he came back, eventually he went through Glastonbury again. When he was eventually crucified, apparently Joseph took one cruet of Jesus's blood, one cruet of his sweat to Glastonbury with him. When he went back to Glastonbury, he ended up setting up a settlement there, which became what is now understood to be the oldest purpose-built church outside of Jerusalem.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a very strange and intense place. Now, on the site of that same church that I'm speaking of, known as Glastonbury Abbey, you can look up Glastonbury Abbey online and see wonderful images of this ruined place. within those same grounds is apparently where King Arthur was buried.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Now, we don't, at this point, know whether King Arthur was a myth or not, right?
No, we don't, but there seems to be some sort of physical evidence leading to him.
Some guy.
Yeah.
Was a King Arthur or yeah. King Arthur-like
The
person.
King Arthur people that everybody is popular with is the one that you generally see in movies, and he's looking very medieval and wonderful.
Yes.
But the one that we're actually talking about in this situation would have been the a king of England, because there wasn't just one king of England at this point.
All kinds.
He would have been a king of England at this point, and it would have been, we're talking the 5th century.
Yes.
So 400, 460-something A.D., so we're not talking lovely medieval clothes. We're still talking pretty rough-looking stuff.
Pretty basic stuff.
Yeah.
Hides and skins. Not clean-shaven guy.
No. And at this time, Glastonbury would have still been... It would have been Christianized at this point, but it was still very much a druidic and very much a pagan area, a pagan settlement.
Yes.
And it had been pre-Christian times as well.
Right.
So we're going back and back and back, and it's always been a very strange, spooky, wonderful, mystical, druidic place.
Yes, one has heard. So this is where you became a Reiki master.
It's where I took my classes. It's where I took my first, one, two, 3 days of classes.
Right.
And they were pretty intense. They were pretty intense. 24 of us sitting around in a circle. Lots of wonderful, strange energy flowing around and around and around. And it was a great experience.
And if you'd like to experience some Reiki firsthand, you could visit Michael Ratt at the Canadian Reiki Association booth at the Whole Life Expo, which is happening at the end of November, November 28, 29, and 30th. Michael will be there the Saturday and the Sunday, and he'll be giving 15-minute Reiki sessions there. The Whole Life Expo is at the Metro Convention Center in downtown Toronto. You are listening to the Health and Wellness Hour on IndieTalent.ca. This program is brought to you by Canclone Services. Today we are featuring an interview with a Reiki master, Michael Ratt. We're talking about vibrational therapies and medicine, of which Reiki is one. Vibrational medicine includes many different disciplines, including therapeutic touch and acupuncture. We're going to take our first musical break with some taiko drum music from Kayoshi Nagata. We will play cut 3, Nengetsu no Nagare, from Kayoshi's CD Koku. Thank you.
And now, Michael, what I'd like to step forward to is the current view of, well, let's call it energy medicine. There it comes in lots of different forms, as you and I have discussed before. There's therapeutic touch, there's Qigong, there's actually acupuncture, which is in itself a form of energy medicine.
Yes.
And, of course, there's Reiki and tons of others. But there are parallels between these various disciplines, are there not?
In reality, yeah. The simple fact is they're all working on the basis of moving and exercising the energetic body one way or another. Whether it's acupuncture where somebody inserts the wonderfully fine hair, fine needles into the part, or if it's therapeutic touch where you're just basically giving some form of warmth or energetic passing, vibration again. Qigong again is working on the root system of the energetic body, and Reiki again is working with the energetic system of the body. Now Reiki takes it to the point of, well, it seems if you are aware of how the body works, you can work with any of these paradigms.
Ah, but you just said something very key, Michael. I think one of the things that people are very unwilling to do is take responsibility for their own health. And that means, how does the body work? Most people don't care. So then that means that most people are at the mercy. The mercy of allopathic practitioners.
True.
Who don't really understand any of the energy medicines. There are a few of them now, I understand, that are beginning to ascribe to using some parts of energy medicine to help allopathic medicine, which is good news, but it's still not fully understood. So people need to have a better awareness of their own workings of their own body so that they can be open.
Right.
Would you agree with that?
Yes, by all means. Not only do people have to be aware of their physical body, they have to be aware of, to take it to another level, they have to be aware of why their body works.
Fair.
You know, it's not just a simple case of my body works because every morning I get up and the parts do what I tell them. There's got to be something that sparks that desire to get up. You know, and what is it that makes that desire to get up? It's a spark, something inside that you can't put your finger on, and nobody knows exactly where it is because there's no actual physical location for it. But that is the thing that drives the energetic body. And then when people become aware of the energetic body and how it interacts with the physical body, if they choose, and 9 times out of 10 they do, to educate themselves a step further, they will start looking at the metaphysical or maybe spiritual realm. And then once they start tying all three of them together, people become more aware of how everything works. That's when they take on that responsibility you're talking about.
And they become better grounded.
Yes, yes. They become better grounded. They become happier in themselves. When they become happier in themselves, that happiness spreads to the people around them. When it starts to spread to those people, it spreads to everybody around them. You know, they tell two friends and...
Well, smile and the world smiles with you.
Exactly.
My mother used to say that all the time.
I think all of our mothers said that.
Yes, I'm sure they did, along with wear clean underwear in case you have to go to the hospital.
Don't get hit by a bus, and if you do, make sure you're wearing clean underwear.
Oh, yes. And socks. You must always wear clean socks,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you don't want to offend people when they have to. Anyway.
It's funny. I think, actually, there's a worldwide network of mothers, and I think they basically know all these things.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, I would say.
And then, since we're talking about mothers, let's touch on that thing that we were talking about the other day, where just the whole healing thing. If you hurt yourself when you're a child, you will often run to your mother and say, make it go away, make it better. And your mother would approach you, and she would either kiss it, she'd say, oh, I'll kiss it and it'll be better, or she would caress the sore spot or touch it, and you would feel better. So that relates back to the whole vibrational medicine thing, doesn't it?
It definitely and completely does. And even, you know, it's a simple case of the kid runs around, does a boo-boo, and there is no medicine in mom's hand. There's no medicine in mom's lips. But the simple case is there's something passed in the compassion and in the warmth, just the feeling of it. And for what it's worth, you know, if even now, if there's nobody around, the simple fact is if you walk by something and smack your elbow, you'll grab it with your own hand and rub it. And is there any medicine there? The reality of it is no.
Reflex.
It's reflex. And what you're doing is you're passing that warmth and that energy. You're cycling that energy within yourself.
Something that we didn't talk about, which occurred to me after we had been talking, was something that people do when they're upset is they will place their hand on their chest, which is precisely where there are two really important energy centers located.
Exactly. Just above the chest is the throat chakra, where a lot of people's, well, it's where your expression
point,
comes from.
Right? They call it sore
it
point.
Can be, yeah.
Sore point.
Yep.
And then this one just at
just
the breastbone.
Below, below that.
And that's precisely what you're covering when you do that.
You're covering your heart and your throat.
Yeah.
And basically what you're doing is protecting yourself and maybe stilling your heart at the same time.
Or gently massaging those lymphs that are
yeah.
in there.
Yeah.
But you didn't know that's what you were doing.
No.
But it makes you feel better when you do it.
Exactly. And you know, 9 times out of 10, unless you're in a really cold situation, your hands are warm, and you're taking that automatic expression of warmth from your hands and placing it where you need it most.
At the very simplest level.
Exactly.
So Michael, what we could infer from all this is that even though it may make people sort of wonder if we're nuts, but it would appear that everybody has the capability of practicing vibrational medicine on themselves.
Yes. Yes.
And on others.
Yes.
In a limited fashion. Without the attunements, without the training.
Sure.
They have that basic capability.
If you know how to breathe, and most people do, and I realize how ridiculous that may sound, but if you know how to breathe properly and you can circulate oxygen and energy through yourself, which everybody does, because anybody who's listening to this is obviously alive and paying attention.
I hope you guys are paying attention.
I would hope so too. if you're capable of doing that and you're capable of the concept of intent and compassion, and there aren't too many people who aren't, you know, even axe murderers at some point probably have puppies or kittens, and you know, everybody has some level of compassion in them. If you have that level of compassion within you and you can think about wanting to make something better, you can do it. Simple as that. It's intent.
Right. And then if we go back to the basic vibrational medicine thing, nowadays it seems that a lot of people are talking about Reiki, talking about therapeutic touch. It's much more open than it was before. Would I be right in that, do you think?
Yes, you definitely are. There seems to be a perceived shift in awareness. There's been a lot of talk over the last bunch of years about the 2012 concept of the end of the world in the Mayan calendar, and that's understandable. And with that comes a lot of, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? So people want to try to find out literally what they can do to make things better for themselves just in case something, whatever that may be, happens.
But I think beyond that, which, by the way, I didn't know about, I think people are becoming rather tired of being fed pills, prescriptions.
Oh, yeah.
And they're looking for something that's more holistic.
And they're looking for things that are non-invasive.
Yes.
And they're looking for things that are not going to make them sick in the long run.
Yes, without side effects.
Yeah.
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 So it would appear that at the moment, vibrational medicine in its various forms is on a bit of a climb, so to speak.
I would say so.
And if you'd like to experience some Reiki firsthand, you could visit Michael Ratt at the Canadian Reiki Association booth at the Whole Life Expo, which is happening at the end of November. November 28th, 29th, and 30th. Michael will be there the Saturday and the Sunday, and he'll be giving 15-minute Reiki sessions there. The Whole Life Expo is at the Metro Convention Center in downtown Toronto. You have been listening to the Health and Wellness Hour on IndieTalent.ca. This program has been brought to you by CanClone Services.
Do you need CDs or DVDs? At CanClone Services, we specialize in professional duplication of your CD or DVD project. From testing your master to high-quality color disc printing, packaging, and assembly, CanClone does it all. So, for your next project, whether it's an audio CD, video, DVD, marketing material, or software, let CanClone Services handle it. CanClone Services, where service is the better part of our name.
You can find CanClone Services at canclone.com. That's CanClone.com.
Today, we have been talking to Reiki Master Michael Ratt about a vibrational medicine known as Reiki. If you'd like to find out more about Michael and what he does, you could visit his website at www.heyoka-healing.com. And that is spelled HEYOKA-HEALING, heyoka-healing.com. For our intro, outro, and transition music, we used a cut from singer-songwriter, composer, and producer Joe Passion from his CD Spirit Lake. We excerpted from cut one on Spirit Lake. For our musical break, we played cut three, Nengetsu no Nagari, from Japanese Taiko master Kayoshi Nagata, a cut from his CD Koku. If you'd like to find out more about either one of these artists, please shoot us out an email at programs@indietalent.ca, and we'll be happy to give you all the information that you need. If any of you are interested in finding out more about various types of vibrational medicine, there is an excellent book. It's called Vibrational Medicine, the Number One Handbook of Subtle Energy Therapies. It's by Richard Gerber, G-E-R-B-E-R, M-D. It covers a great number of different areas of vibrational medicine. If you'd like to read something a little bit more simple, a little easier to grasp, there is an excellent article. It's called The Science Behind Reiki. And you can find that on www.reikiteaching.co.uk. And it's called The Science Behind Reiki. And it describes, this is some research by a Dr. Robert Becker and a Dr. John Zimmerman. And there is also an article by James L. Oshman, PhD, being interviewed by William Lee Rand. And in that article, which is a reprint from the Reiki News magazine, he discusses science and the human energy field. Very interesting reading, and for anybody who has an interest in energy medicine, I would say this is an excellent place for you to start. This program was recorded on site by Louise Peacock, and it was produced, mixed, and mastered at Fungi Studios by Louise Peacock.